We've always been there for you, from the short trips to the long journeys, and we'll still be there for you when all of this is over. Until then, stay home and stay safe. Total, committed to better energy.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Fakala Duma Radio. This is Afangana Corner.
Good day and welcome to the car wash brought to you by Total. This is episode number 40. On today's show, breaking news. Nobody wants to win the PSL trophy. Is Koeman the right man at Barcelona? And who's your money on for the PSL Golden Boot? First things first, I'm your host, Lou Paho, and yes, I do have a slight lisp. Please excuse me. I had infected wisdom taken out, but I'm good to go. Whether you're listening to us on SL Radio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng Game Time, that's 96.7 FM. Welcome to the show. I'm joined by two excellent co-hosts. First things first, when he hung up the gloves, we didn't know he meant both kind of gloves. It's new dad, Sean Roberts. How you doing, Sean?
That is brilliant. I'm great. Thanks, buddy.
And joining him, we have the undisputed best-dressed PSL star, Deco Modise. How you doing, sir?
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Good morning, James. Good morning,
yo, James. Who's the best-dressed you've played with us, Deco Modise?
Deco Modise. Wow.
All right. Well, it's time for us to get into the show, and that means that we have to start with a fantastic all-time original King of Comedy joke of the day.
Right. What do you call a fat psychic? A fortune teller.
I'll give you that one. Fortunes. Oh, I like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I actually do like that.
Thank you.
All right. Before we get into the rest of the show, just want a word from our fantastic sponsor. This is the car wash brought to you by Total, by the way. And you might be missing your teammates on the field right now, but that doesn't mean you can't show off your mind-blowing ball skills. Total wants you and your friends to go viral with the Don't Drop the Ball challenge, because even when you're stuck indoors, you can still wow the nation with your moves. Just take a video clip of yourself doing a kick-up trick with a football, don't let it drop, and then pass it out of frame. Post your video to social media with the hashtag Don't Drop the Ball, and tag three of your friends while challenging them to do the same. Keep that ball in the air, and you and your mates could each win Y Group vouchers worth 500 Rand to use at the Bonjour shops at a Total service station near you. The videos that we think show the maddest skills will be announced on the 24th of August. If you haven't seen Sean, Deco, and myself doing the Don't Drop the Ball challenge, head over to social media and you will see us. It's at the True Deco on Twitter. It's Roberts, the
at,
Roberts?
At the Roberts.
At the Roberts for Sean Roberts. And I am at Slu Paho. And from there, we go into pole position.
Pole position.
Pole position is where we present a question to our listeners and readers on the Facebook page for Sokola Duma. And this time around, I posted it after the Sundowns match thinking, Sundowns going to bottle their chances at this league title. But I think you guys already know why that's an ironic thing to do.
The chances for Mamelodi Sundowns to lift the trophy are slim. As we have seen their previous game, they are not playing the way how they used to play. Particularly before the COVID-19. So I think Kaizer Chiefs are in chances to take the Absa Premiership. But let's wait for the game that they will play tomorrow against the Bloemfontein Celtics.
See, that game has been played and they did not win that game. Well, guys, yeah, no one wants to win this league. Hey, I mean, we're seeing Sundowns losing to Cape Town City and now Chiefs in the prime position to go 9 points clear, losing to Bloom Celtic. Saw that shambolic defense.
Oh, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, we praised Chiefs last week in terms of their comeback skills, their dedication, how badly they want this. And then they've gone and fallen asleep, haven't they?
Yeah.
And it's amateurish and sort of some of the goals that have been conceded in terms of I'm not going to single out any players, but just basic errors, little mistakes. But we're seeing it all across the PSL, but you cannot make mistakes when you're fighting for the league. And that goes for Sundowns as well, don't get me wrong. So, yes, obviously a couple of players are a bit rusty. Maybe the pressure is starting to get to them a bit. We know the guys are staying in hotels. What difference does that make mentally, being away from the families? But it certainly gives us content to talk about.
Yeah, and one question that I wanted to ask you as well before we pass this on to Deco. And Deco, I'll ask you the same question. Do Chiefs have the depth to rotate the squad? Because I think against Polokwane City, we saw they struggled when they rotated that midfield early on until they brought on the more experienced players.
Well, I mean, you've answered your own question, haven't you? I mean, it doesn't seem so, Slew. And you would think... at a team who's the head of the PSL, as good as Kaizer Chiefs, that you could just throw in players that make an immediate effect, like the Katsanda did the last game and whatnot. But it's not happening. Especially defensively, I'm so worried for Chiefs defensively. And it's a big concern. It has been a concern for me over the past two seasons. But it's something needs to change. They've got firepower up front that wasn't really there last night. They are going to concede goals, which we've seen. But it's not about finishing off in the final third, but we cannot concede goals. When I say we, they cannot concede goals the way they have been conceding. It's not good enough if you're fighting for the league. And I'm sure they're talking about it this morning.
The last two games.
Yeah, it's not great.
Deco, your reactions, bud.
Ooh la la. I think, first of all, I would say I'll give credit to Kaizer Chiefs. I mean, they finished ninth on the log last season.
Yes.
To come back in the new season and being on the number one spot ever since the beginning of the season until now. I mean, it's something that I never saw happening. I didn't even expect it, but I think I just need to give credit for that because it's very, very difficult to be number one all the way through.
And I'm going to bump it. I still think Chiefs are going to win the league. Don't take that away from me. I honestly believe Chiefs are going to. I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. But Chiefs are still going to win the league. I tell you that. I'm just saying the way these individual mistakes are happening, they cannot happen. Okay. That's it.
Okay, Sean. Wow. And also for me, this is the Kaizer Chiefs, the same team that we saw leading with 14 points in the league, and they blew it again. And now they had an opportunity to increase to 9, and they blew it again. I think there's a pattern there. I think whenever Chiefs have they're under pressure or they're expected to perform well or to be consistent, they started dropping points. And this is the Chiefs that has been playing the same way ever since the beginning of the season. That's why Yanukovic is still scoring.
Helicopter FC.
Yeah. Okay. That's what she said. but my thing is, in 2016, the Chiefs were in the same position as well. So as Mamelodi Sundowns, and Mamelodi Sundowns came back and won the league. I'm just saying that we as fans of football, we're saying Mamelodi Sundowns is not performing well. Mamelodi Sundowns are playing the same way that they did before lockdown. Imagine if Mamelodi Sundowns were playing the same way. We'll be speaking a different story now. But Kaizer Chiefs should be taking advantage of the fact that Mamelodi Sundowns, they're not performing to the best of our abilities. And like Sean has said, I think it's very important to be very strategic in the games that you play. I think, going into your Polokwane City game, you could have seen the first half, how the Kaizer Chiefs played. It was a very total different team. And merely because probably maybe you were thinking, it's just Polokwane City, we'll dominate and then we'll make the south later on. And then to the surprise, Polokwane City also blew the lead away.
Yeah.
Same thing happened yesterday with Bloemfontein Celtics. I think if you look at the fixtures that Kaizer Chiefs have until at the end of the season, the only two fixtures that they have that we think probably maybe they're tough, it's against Vets and Sundowns themselves. The rest, they've got so-called smaller teams where they should be dominating and winning games. And then you take it back again to Mamelodi Sundowns. My issue is, I know that yesterday's results against Bloemfontein Celtics have given hope to Mamelodi Sundowns in camp.
Yep.
You know, they brought back that faith and that belief that, hey, guys, this team has done this again. We have another opportunity to come back again. Because once if Mamelodi Sundowns the next fixture, if they win, it's back to three. And it might end up to that game where they have to face each other and cancel each other out.
In a week, yeah.
But I'm saying if I'm a Kaizer Chiefs fan or I'm a Kaizer Chiefs official or a player, my concern would be, guys, let's not wait for Mamelodi Sundowns to pick up form. Let's not wait for Mamelodi Sundowns to fix their issues on the pitch to start winning games. Because once that happens, it becomes a problem. Because I strongly feel that the pressure is getting into issues. And for me, I'm saying to myself, that pressure is supposed to make them strong.
Yeah.
You know, and we spoke about the depth within the team. Kaizer Chiefs has proven over and over again that they don't have one. They don't have the depth in the team.
No rotation.
No, even the rotation, because if you look at the rotation that they do, it's not the rotation that actually helps the team to be stronger or better. You look at the certain players that when they're not on the pitch, it's so obvious that something is wrong. We can name one player that has made the difference in terms of structure for Kaizer Chiefs the whole season, which has been Katsande. We spoke about it so many times in the show that when Katsande is not on the team is not strong defensively. And Katsande has done so many things, especially with the center backs of Kaizer Chiefs, when they drag their way out of the position. Katsande always slots in as a center backs. You'll see him making tackles. You'll see him doing all those dirty jobs there.
What do you think happened with them against Celtic last night? In terms of defense,
look. This has been the issues for Kaizer Chiefs all the season. It's just maybe other teams haven't found ways out to exploit them and punish them. I mean, even Polokwane City could have went on to the first half with three goals. They missed a couple of chances. They would have won the game 4 easy. But because they're not clinical, it became a problem. And Nukovic came back second half, and it's not a game that we can look at and say, hey, Kaizer Chiefs played better. They didn't.
Yeah.
They won the game because they came back better and stronger second half. And Polokwane City, yeah, they were busy eating peanuts. But yesterday, you look at Bloemfontein Celtics. Bloemfontein Celtics has been a team that always plays well when they play against these big teams.
Yeah.
Irrespective of who the coach is. And yesterday, it was no difference. I mean, we always seen if you have somebody that runs over, especially when you play against Kaizer Chiefs and you don't have like a tall striker that's strong, that any one of the tall center backs for Kaizer Chiefs to mark, it becomes a problem. So Bloemfontein Celtics, you play with a false nine, Mabena drags them out of the position, there's always runners. It becomes a problem for Kaizer Chiefs. It's always been the problem the whole season. But my problem is now, how do you fix that? How do you, as a Kaizer Chiefs, sit back and like, guys, here's the issue that we have. How do we fix that? Okay, we realize that we've got an issue that we don't have a stronger defense. How do we not concede the goal?
Yeah.
I think it comes back to the point that when we defend, let's defend as a team. When we attack, maybe let's have a structure on how we attack. Because Kaizer Chiefs, if Nukovic doesn't score, there's a problem. We don't know who's going to score.
True.
The guys are supposed to come into the game. Your Kama, your Castro, they're coming into the fold. Lebo hasn't found his form as yet also. So there's issues as well at Kaizer Chiefs. Not that Mamelodi Sundowns only has issues. There's also issues at Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
But the fixtures that they play, you know, and also the expectations for Mamelodi Sundowns is Mamelodi Sundowns should come back stronger and make the league interesting. But Chiefs are supposed to take advantage of the situation where Mamelodi Sundowns is not playing well. They're supposed to be winning games. But I promise you right now, I've seen this movie. And like they say in Soweto, the steering dies at the end of this movie. So if they're not going to pick up points, I promise you Mamelodi Sundowns will come back and win the league.
Yeah. So, you know, just to wrap that up, Tiko, I think in these uncertain times, in terms of what's happening in the world, you know, there's no crowds. I know both Sundowns and Chiefs, they'll probably rely on crowds as a 12th man on the field. You know what I mean? And I honestly believe at the end of the season, and this might sound obvious, but the team who makes the less mistakes is going to win the league.
Oh.
Because as we saw the Sundowns with a couple of players making, Madisha making a couple of errors, and Matoha last night, and this is not pinpointing or anything. I'm just saying whoever cuts out those little mistakes, because we know they've got the firepower up front. That there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Whoever cuts those out will win the league.
Yes, but with the Mamelodi Sundowns, they haven't been scoring. Kaizer Chiefs have been scoring. Yeah. So now look at once Mamelodi Sundowns start scoring, irrespective of how many goals they concede, they win.
Sure.
They might concede three, they'll score five.
Yeah.
They win. With Kaizer Chiefs, it's a different story. Mm. So they need to stop. They need to stop letting those goals in and be consistent and try and other guys as well. They need to come into the party because, you know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine. I said, you know how bad it is to win a trophy and knowing yourself as a player that you never contributed to this trophy. You know, you don't celebrate as other players celebrate.
Yeah.
You're not as happy as other people are. Mm. So I think it's if you're a Kaizer Chiefs player that you know that you haven't contributed much into the success of the team, I think this is the right time for you now to step up and be that guy because of now all the shoulders now on Nukovic to score this, Nukovic to do that.
Yeah.
I think other guys need to come into the party and help the team to win the league. If that doesn't happen, you must understand that they're chasing the league title with the team that has firepower from everywhere. They've got your Temba Zwane's got 8 goals. You've got your Villa that's got 5. You've got players that score goals everywhere and they don't play with an out-and-out striker. Mm. You have 3. You're playing with 3 strikers. So I think this, structurally, I think Kaizer Chiefs are in a better position to win the league. Mm. It's for them to lose it. And I would hate to see that happening for them once, because of them being number one for such a long time. I think they deserve something to show for end of the season. And this is the one. This is the league that they need to win. This is the only time that Kaizer Chiefs convincingly can win the league.
Sure.
Definitely. All right, let's get into some of these weekend fixture predictions. I do have the Lorch story lined up, but I think we can attack that a little later. He is back in the squad there. But let's start with, Sundowns, Maritzburg United. I posted, I said to you guys off air, look, if Sundowns don't beat Maritzburg United, I don't know how to predict the league anymore. I just don't. So how do you guys feel about this?
Yeah, game? I mean, I think Maritzburg, their last game, I forget who they played, also struggled big time. They struggled big time defensively. And I think Sundowns have got too much going forward. I think, Sundowns have to win. The Sundowns victory. Yeah. Boom. There we go. Convincing. What do you think, Tex?
I think this is the game the Sundowns have to win.
Yeah.
I love Maritzburg, but I wasn't impressed the way they played. Mm. And the thing is, like, I've always watched Maritzburg. Whenever team does well, it gives license to your Buchanan, you know, your Klassen and all that stuff. Mm. And team wasn't doing well that day, and that structure on its own, it didn't function very well. So I think this is a must win for Sundowns. I don't think Sundowns will go in trying to play their normal football. I think they'll come in differently just to win the game.
Mm.
And that's what they need. They just need one game. I think Mamelodi Sundowns are a pressure to win this game.
Sure.
So I don't see Maritzburg winning it.
And then up next we have, I've put down Pirates versus Cape Town City. It's going to be a tough one for Cape Town City. They have the Cape Derby this evening. And then on Sunday they have to face up against Pirates, newly revitalized with Lorch. How are you feeling about that one?
Yeah, big game. Cape Town City on a high, playing very well. Pirates playing very well. I'm going for a 2-2 draw. That's how I see it going.
2-2 draw.
Look, I've seen Bolano Pirates now started going with 2 strikers. They're compromising their midfield, and which is something that they've been strong with the whole season, with the 5-man midfield, 7 if you count their wing backs as well. But you can see the desperation that comes from the coach because they haven't won the game, and before the previous game they haven't scored in a while. So I think it's gonna be a game that they're gonna go in trying to do everything that they can possibly to win the game. And like you said, sure. I think for me it's a draw, but I don't know the scoreline, but I see a draw. Mm.
And in the last one I have here, Kaizer Chiefs versus Stelly, this Dimensa van die Kaap against the Giants from Soweto there. How do you feel about, I mean, this now, if Chiefs, look, especially going into the Sundowns game, they need a confidence boost. How do you guys feel about this one?
No, so this is where the league gets tricky. You've got Stellenbosch, who are mathematically not safe yet. Mm-hmm. But I think they won their last game. You've got Chiefs now who are fighting for the league who have lost their last game. So this is it. I'm going for a Chiefs win. But because of where we are and what's happening in the league, this can go either way. But I'm going for a Chiefs win.
I'll go for a Chiefs win merely because I want to see the league being interesting, and hopefully Sundowns also wins so that it becomes more interesting. I think both teams need to win, but I'm not convinced with how Kaizer Chiefs been playing the last 2 games.
Mm.
And if they're gonna go in the way that they've been doing the last two games, Stelis might pull out a surprise, which also still puzzles me because I don't know where Stelis, who's gonna score from Stelis, how and why. But I know for a fact the first round, because she's had a fantastic game against Stelis, I think they scored four.
And why? So I think... why are you scoring, boy?
No, man. But I think Kaizer Chiefs will come in at being a different team. But I think also if Mamelodi Sundowns play before them and Mamelodi Sundowns win, I think mentally we'll put so much pressure on Kaizer Chiefs to win that game, and we might see what happened yesterday. So I'm not sure about that game. I'm on the fence.
Yeah. also big up Stellenbosch FC, by the way. They're doing some stuff with their social media platforms. They've got like a video team now and cool. stuff like that. They're out here. Also, I know we're criticizing them, but big up Kaizer Chiefs on their official podcast. They now have like post-match interviews.
I am saying Stellenbosch must survive relegation first. They must stop with these videos. They must survive relegation first. Because I'm telling you, Chief, they're not safe. You've seen the league. You've seen how interesting it can be. Yeah. You've seen Black Leopards from nowhere winning the game. I'm just saying, if none of those teams start collecting points, I'm telling you, the last two games are going to be very, very, very tricky. And you don't want to go into the last two games of the league, you know, desperately for 3 points. I think Stelis needs to start winning games before they can focus on the... Because those videos, they must save those content. Then once they're safe, and then they can start posting. Because you can have content, my friend. You'll use it at an NFT.
Yeah, but maybe the GLAAD Africa Championship needs some behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you'll use it there.
All right. Before we get into the international news desk, let's have another listen to our fun little keepy uppy challenge. We did some more stuff behind the scenes, and we decided to expand on our talents. Have a listen.
And here we have Deco the General Mudise. 1, 2, he's going in. He's got the gear on. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, he's killing it. He still has the skills. He's got it on the head and the chest. He's keeping it going, keeping it flowing. And he holds it. Oh, all the sauce. Deco is still king. And we're here with Sean Roberts, former Ajax Cape Town goalkeeper. He's doing the Keepy Uppy Challenge. He's got about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, he does 10, la decima. He was a lot better with his hands than he was with his feet, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying it again. He's got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. He's struggling a bit. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And that is a new Ajax Cape Town record, 23.
All right. Here we have the voice of Sokola Duma, Stu Paho. What's he on? 4, 5, 6. Come on, Stu. We expect a lot more from you, big man.
Now we go.
11 is 11.
By the way, in my
Slew, you sounded like
the man, the brain,
Simon,
not the feet.
Simon's was very short.
Oh man, you sounded like a homeless midget from Santon.
Wow. Yes, it's my God. Listen, check. There's only 4 ways out of 4 ways, but.
Very cool. Well done, guys.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a lot of fun. By the way, in my defense, I had a second try that Simon edited out.
Yeah.
Thinks he's slick. I had more than 11. But anyway, if you want the visual of that, I know it's very strange to hear it in audio form, but head over to our social media pages. It will be up there. Oh, to YouTube. Yeah. There we go. It'll be on our YouTube page for Sokola Duma, SLTV. And if you do the Keepy Uppy Challenge, you stand a chance to win with Total. My bad.
Yes. Don't forget that.
And now we get into the international news desk. And for that, we are joined by Kurt Buckerfield. So much has happened since we last spoke. Kurt, how are you doing?
How's it, guys? How's everyone doing?
Better than you could.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, for those listening, we do know what's going on in the UEFA Champions League. We're not ignoring that. But I think it's better that we do a final preview or reaction. The final's on Sunday, right? We'll do a reaction to the final. But we want to speak about this Barcelona story because, I mean, firstly, I'd hate to bring it up, but I think Bayern Munich ate too much.
You are a fool. You are a foolish fool.
Sorry, those are recycled from Twitter. Reaction to that match, firstly, and what it means for Barcelona, Kurt?
Well, I mean, you guys watched that game. I don't think there's anything I can say that's going to be different from what you would have seen on Twitter and what you would have seen from other pundits and players. And I mean, you saw the fallout. It was just rock bottom. It was the worst moment, I think, in their history, well, in terms of a result. So, you know, I think they needed that embarrassing loss. They really did. Teko and I talked about it. They needed that rock bottom. PK came out and said that, you know, this was probably necessary for changes to actually happen. So the fallout from the game has been huge. We've obviously seen Quique Setién sacked. We've seen Abidal lose his job. But everybody is still obviously calling for the president, Bartomeu's head, which hasn't happened yet. But he has called forward the presidential elections that are set to take place next year. He's called them forward to March. And that's why I feel like Ronald Koeman's appointment, Slu, I know we're going to get into that, but I know Ronald Koeman's appointment, his appointment is quite a strange one, because I just don't see a way for him to succeed at Barcelona. I really don't.
Yeah, I want to bring this up to the guys as well. Ronald Koeman, the last time I remember him as a coach was coaching Everton, and he spent a huge amount of money at Everton. I remember it was like upwards of £80 million or something like that. And by the time he was sacked, they were like struggling in the bottom half of the table. I think they were close to the relegation zone. And so I'm just wondering, I know that he's a club legend, but do you guys think that Ronald Koeman, was he even on your list of potential Barcelona coaches?
It's a bizarre one, hey. A decision made in haste, like a quick, rash decision, you know?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like you say, his time at Everton was underwhelming at best. And now he's going to be coming to one of the biggest teams, if not the biggest team in the world. So, interesting. They have needed change for a while. I think they could have taken their time early and done a little mini preseason and really, really sort of searching for who the replacement's going to be. Look, I could be wrong. We could all be wrong, but for me, it's a very, very bizarre one. Sure. Yo.
Deco.
Hey, guys, I'm still bleeding, you know? So, like, this Barcelona issue is depressing. But I think they have been talking to the coach, you know, behind closed doors, whatever the case might be. And, like I said, I think Barcelona needs to go onto the market. I think like the good players that are on loan, like your Coutinho's, they need to be considered back into the team. And I think there's so many guys that are wearing the Barcelona jersey that they don't deserve to be there. I think others, they overstayed. I think they need to bounce. Abidal, thank God that he's gone. Number one, Abidal had a heart issue. We played for him and then he started talking. So he's out. I think there's so many things that is happening to the Barcelona team, and I'm glad, like Curtis said, I'm glad that happened. And I think by appointing this coach, I don't think we're progressing. I think we needed to get somebody that is still young, somebody is fresh with fresh ideas, because we don't want to be playing like the old Barcelona. I think we need to go where the world is going. Look at how Bayern is playing. Look at how Liverpool is playing. I think we need to adapt to what the new is happening. And I don't think the coach that we appointed will give us that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to add to that. Like, I personally don't think that we can really judge Koeman on what he did at Everton. When last has a manager actually done well at Everton? So let's just consider that. I mean, David Moyes. he joined Manchester United. And that's a long time ago. And there's been a few managers since. So I don't know if we can judge him on that. Maybe we should judge him on how well he's done with Holland and with Netherlands, getting them back into major tournament football. So I think it's definitely a weird appointment, but we know that they approached him after the sacking of Valverde earlier this year. They wanted him ahead of Setién. There were a few managers ahead of Setién, and Koeman turned him down because he was going to the European Championship with Netherlands. Of course, that's been postponed. And, you know, my theory is that the only reason he's taken the job now is because he knows the opportunity isn't going to come around again. And that's because with the presidential election coming up and we don't have to get into the politics of it all, but the leading candidate for the job, Victor Font, he's repeatedly said that his guy is Xavi Hernandez, and that's the guy who he will build his project around. That will be the first team manager. So when I say I don't feel there's any way he can succeed, I mean that even if, you know, he keeps his pride and he wins a trophy, he's still going to be shipped out with the old board come next year. So
yeah,
I feel like it is a weird one, but it's a dream job for him. And, you know, he had a clause in his contract at Netherlands that said, I can leave if this release clause is met, and I can go to Barcelona. That was the only club he had that clause in his contract for. So it's widely known that Koeman's always wanted this job, and I feel like he really has nothing to lose because it can't get any worse. You know, I don't think it can get any worse. I think there will be many changes, personnel changes. The current president, I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was absolutely wild. He basically said that there's 6 or 7 players who aren't for sale, implying that the rest are. Implying that, you know, come, yeah, give us offers for these players. Pique, Busquets, Sergio Roberto, Jordi Alba. There was a number of players. Luis Suarez.
Yeah, Luis Suarez. And now I'm seeing him linked with Ajax, which is a wild return.
He's linked with a return to go back, yeah. So it's really strange. It's a really weird time. I just don't think that Koeman has much to lose. I think that whatever happens, he'll still be considered a club legend for his playing days. But still very, very strange, of course, because it's not exactly exciting. I mean, I think, Teko, that's what yours is saying. It's not exciting for a Barcelona fan. You know that Koeman isn't bringing, you know, this, like, the spout of youth to the team. There's going to be no, I don't think there'll be any really exciting football. So I don't know if I'm looking forward to watching them, but I'm definitely looking forward to what happens over the next.
It's going
to
be a tough one. I mean, look, Barca, I don't see great things for them for this next season. One question that I do want to ask you, Kurt, before we let you go, is Lionel Messi. We saw those rumors.
Yes.
Oh, he wants to leave. And then the president comes out. He's like, nah, Messi wants to finish his career at Barca. He's going to stay. And it's like just a weird, like, we, and of course, Messi doesn't talk much. So we don't know direct quotes from him. What do you think his position is?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that the president has to say that. You know what I mean? It's purely political. He has to say that Messi isn't going anywhere because that would look terrible on him. Mm. So he's just saving face there. Koeman said last night at his unveiling that he wants to talk to Messi and he wants to pitch his project, essentially. And he doesn't think Messi's going anywhere, and he wants Messi to be an important, you know, part of his team, of course, like every Barcelona manager would. Mm-hmm. I personally think that that Messi's probably just playing a bit of a power move now, and by, you know, not signing a new deal and by these rumors coming out, it might be him just trying to say, look, if you want to do this, Bartomeu, you, let's do it. Let's go man for man. I'm going to say I want to leave, and we'll see the reaction we get, because it's going to be president out and they're going to call for his head even harder. So I think it's a political move. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. But I would strongly advise he does go somewhere else, because you don't want to be a part of a project, a rebuild, at 33 years old.
Where would he go, Messi? Kurt? Where do you see Messi going?
Sean, you know the answer, and I think that's why you're asking me.
Friends for life.
You smell the petrol.
I think it would be Manchester City. That would make the most sense.
Yeah. That's a double entendre. It would make the most sense.
Hey. I like it. Well,
actually. Sean, would you like Messi in your team? Do you think he's got a good future?
I think he can fit in somewhere. We can throw him in there.
Yeah, you know, you can stroll into that. It's on the right. Like, who's going to be like, nah,
oh, man.
I'm better than the GOAT.
But yeah, like you said, Kurt, interesting times ahead. But I do agree with you. I think it's more of a power player / political move. I don't think he's going anywhere, to be honest.
But I'm very excited for next week, Kurt. We're going to be able to react to the Champions League final. But before we let you go, who would you take in your team right now? I don't know if you saw my post on Twitter. Who would you take right now on your team? Neymar and Mbappe or Lewandowski and Serge Gnabry?
What do you mean? Which post on Twitter?
No one follows you, Slew.
No one follows the boy.
No one follows me.
Come on, man.
I'm definitely going Neymar and Mbappe.
Neymar and Mbappe. That's definitely also Mbappe is mad young, so It's one for the future.
Absolutely.
But thank you very much, Kurt Buckerfield, for joining us on International News Desk.
Thanks, Curtie.
Cool, guys. Enjoy.
All right. So before we get into Quickfire, I think now's a good time to talk about this real quick. Timmy Kosi-Lorch returns to the Pirates squad. Justin Schonger, though, remains suspended. So, you know, I saw this whole thing where Lorch was essentially... He had to come before the kind of committee at Pirates and he pleaded guilty essentially. And then he did the two tests and he's back. But Schonger, who was suspended at the same time, or as far as I know today, is still suspended from the Pirates squad.
Do we know what for yet?
I still have zero clue what the breach was. They're kind of keeping it under wraps.
Wow.
But it is a strange one. Just because they were suspended at the same time, does that mean that Schonger is just saying like he's pleading innocent? Or it's weird to like talk about it in this way. Let me ask this though. You know, Pirates played against Baroka on Tuesday, 1-1 draw. Did Lorch look fresh to you? I don't know if you guys caught the game. Moving forward, how important is Lorch to Pirates maybe making a run for third?
Yeah, well, we know Lorch isn't the same player as he was last season, that's for sure. And it's still continuing to show. And obviously with what's happened, which we don't know what's happened, but with what's happened, what's happened? Maybe we should get them on the show.
Yeah.
he's a good player. There's no doubt. He's a good player and he'll be an asset to any team. He just needs to find his feet again at Pirates. In terms of Schonger, also a very good player. What remains of his future Pirates remains to be seen. There has been talks of him leaving in the past. But I'm very intrigued, Slew, as to what has happened off the field here, man. I mean, maybe Teko Modise knows because he knows everything. Teko.
Yo, Chief, under the bus where you threw me just now. for me, I would say having Lorch in the camp, I think it brings that positiveness within the team because whether he's been the different player this season than last, I think he's still a key player to them. You know, having such a player on the pitch also gives, you know, confidence and also becomes it's an additional threat to the opponents as well. But I don't think he's doing himself justice as well in terms of the way he's been performing and him facing the DC and all that stuff. You know, I think he should be smart enough and just focus on the game itself. But of course, we don't know what actually happened. But being back into the team, I think Orlando Pirates needs all their best players on the pitch for them to try and finish third. And that's what happened with Lorch. I think we'll probably maybe know more about it come end of the season. But for now, I think it's important. I think he needs to do well for the team. But the pressure is there. Mm. You know, it's not about also the pressure also from the fans. They're still questioning themselves as well what happened. And the only way to remove those doubts is, hey, my friend, perform. Yeah. You know, help the team. I think that's the only way. That's the only answer that people are expecting from Lorch. And I think he realized that he's got so much talent. And we've seen players. I've played with players that are more talented than me.
Much more.
They never, yeah, much more. But the longevity was not there because of the issues outside the game itself.
Yeah, sure.
So I think for me personally, I would say to Lorch is, go back and do what you love.
Yeah.
Which is football.
Make
sure that your performance puts a smile back on your face. You know, because we only know you as a footballer. We don't want to know anything else.
Yeah.
So go back onto the pitch, perform, my friend. Because if you're not, Orlando Pirates is a big team. Nobody's bigger than the club.
Yeah.
And they'll personally find somebody else because they've always done so by finding somebody else that will carry the team. And you don't want to miss. You don't want to regret this opportunity, you know. For me as well, like I left Orlando Pirates to go to Mamelodi Sundowns, but I promise you, I had the best time at Orlando Pirates. Mm. So I don't think Lorch wants to be in that position.
Yeah, just a quick one. I mean, how well have Pirates done to keep this under wraps? Do you know what I mean? Usually stories like this just get leaked, and they're obviously protecting their players. So big up to Pirates. Well done on that. But yeah, as you say, Tex, let's just hope he just gets his head down, continues to do what he loves. And we love watching him. He's a great player.
We love watching it. And Sean, to tell you, to add on what you just said, Orlando Pirates have always done so. They've protected every player. Mm. Like, they've protected players before. Mm. It's not new to them. But for you as a player to repay them, I mean, do the business on the pitch. Yeah. I know for a fact that there's certain things also that I've done to Orlando Pirates that they protected me. Yeah. But when I come onto the pitch, it becomes a different story. So I think Lodge needs to realize the potential that he has, and that for the fact that the fans still loves him, they still want to see him play, he needs to take advantage of that. Because once they turn on you, Chief, you need to dig deeper. And sometimes we're digging on stuff that we don't have. So I don't think Lodge wants to be in that position. I just hope that he realized that he's got talent. Don't waste it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, after you're done playing, you're allowed to talk about these things that the clubs protect you. You know what I mean? Like, I think Lorch could learn from your story.
One day we'll get Teko drunk. I will get the truth.
I will take Wisdom Tooth as a new nickname, though. All right. Up next, we have a feature called 10 Quickfire Questions. This is where we get your favorite PSL players on the line and put them on the spot. This week, we have...
Hi, guys. My name is Tariq Phyllis, and these are my top 10 fire questions.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you have played with?
Craig Martin.
Who is the flashiest dresser on your team right now?
Dovid Nelson.
Like, into fashion brands?
Yeah, that guy can dress it.
This is a tough one. Who's the worst dressed player on your team?
Yo, Tabuna Dada.
Oh, man, the youngster. All right. What is the worst mistake you've made in a match?
Yo, the worst thing I did was, I don't know what do they call it, but just going with the ball, little rolling to your foot, and like you try to dummy the striker, and then one of the midfielders intercepted the ball, and then they scored. It was very embarrassing.
Ooh, do you remember who it was against?
It was against Sundowns.
All right. Who is your best friend at Cape Town City right now?
Me, I'm friends with everyone. I don't really have a best friend here because I'm tight with everyone.
What is your fondest footballing memory?
Honestly, making my debut for Cape Town City and winning the empty night.
What is the best goal a teammate of yours has scored? Or what is the best goal that you've ever conceded?
The best goal that I saw. Now the other night, surprise Ralani.
Ah, yes, the chip over, yeah. over Dennis.
That's what the guy does in training.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, he's the second after Percy Tau to just score chips this week. It's all about the chips this week. all right, what is your favorite car at the moment?
My favorite car at the moment is surprise Ralani's car because I get to love with him.
What car does he drive?
He's driving a 7.
Ooh. Okay. All right. What is your favorite South African local food?
Tomato food.
local food. Let me phrase it like this. What's the first thing you'd ask your mom to cook if you went back home?
Yo. Neckies. You know neckies?
Is it chicken necks?
Chicken necks, yeah. Okay, cool. You eat the meat, and then you suck the bone.
I know it very well. All right. Lastly, what is your favorite holiday destination?
My favorite holiday destination will be Paris.
And have you been yet?
No, only my dreams.
That was a 10 out of 10.
Well, I mean, if you know Tariq, he's such a cool dude, man. But this is classic him. This is classic Tariq.
This is him. Like, oh. if you chill with the boy, this is him. He's stupid like this.
I don't know if it was my tomato. List, but the tomato food threw. I was like,
nah, that's Tariq. Trust me, he's stupid like
oh,
that.
Oh, he's beautiful. Hey? Beautiful.
Oh man. All right. Up next, we have a feature called the Secret Footballer, and that is where Sean Roberts takes a look at the back page of our sister publication, Kickoff Magazine, and it's a local anonymous source telling some stories. What you got?
Yeah, so just adding on to what we were chatting about earlier and talking about staying in a bubble with regards to players and being stuck in hotels. This player, who obviously we don't know, he says, you are just on your own inside your room until we have to go to matches or training. I mean, it must be insane. I know, Teko, you're on the ground there at the moment. I don't know if you have access to the hotels, but I know you're close with the Cape Town City guys. What's the feeling like? I mean, You know, we've all done our preseason camps as well, where we may be away for 2 weeks max, maybe 3 weeks at a push at a time. But these guys are going to go 4 or 5 weeks stuck in the same hotel, eating the same food, being around the same people. Oh, man, it's got to be draining. Eh? And have to getting results week in and week out. I mean, what are the guys saying on the ground? Have you heard anything or what's happening?
No, I haven't heard any complaints, but I think it's tough for everyone. You know, now you're so used to doing things in groups. Now you're isolated. The only time you actually do things in groups when you're in a pitch. And we all know how boring and exhausting camp can be. But it's something that they have to adjust to it. I think what makes it better is for the fact that everybody is struggling the way that they are.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's only us. You know, every team is going through the same thing. Absolutely. So I just think that it's something that it's very, very difficult. I can imagine as what goes through the player's mind. Yeah. But hey, man, we have to adjust. It's better you being in a bubble, you know, fighting for the league, fighting for top 8. Imagine being in the bubble, my friend. You're fighting for relegation and nobody speaks to you in your own room. So
imagine worse case. You're stuck in the bubble. Your wife has just given birth and you can't leave to go see your child. There must be a couple of players and that's... Oh man, must be hectic, dude. Anyway, moving on swiftly.
what a time to be alive in the bubble. You know, it's just a situation. I think that it's a just over 2 weeks for them left there. So it's the final stretch for them. I think they'll get over the line.
They have to
stay mentally strong. All right, moving on. We have two very different stories coming from our boys abroad.
Players abroad on Sokola Duma Radio.
You know, the two biggest names on everyone's lips right now, Percy Tau, who got his new deal at Anderlecht now, where he's being coached by former City defender Vincent Kompany. Mm-hmm. And he got off to a flyer with, as I mentioned in the 10 quick fire, with a chip over the goalie. It was a 93rd minute. He came on as a substitute, still got a goal. What do you guys think of Percy Tau's chances with Anderlecht? Do you think maybe he has a better shot at that starting lineup and more consistent football?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the reaction of the guy that he, I can't remember the guy's name, that he took, that he came on for a substitute, who took his place. He went berserk. I don't know if you saw that. He went absolutely crazy because I think subconsciously he knows how good Percy Tau is. Mm-hmm. And now Percy Tau's come in and he scored a worldie on his debut. So that answers your question, Slu. I mean, Percy's without a doubt will be playing in the Premier League soon, in my opinion. He's that good. And yeah, man, it's great. It's just so cool to see someone that we all know personally that's is doing so well abroad. It's so cool to see.
Yeah,
man. I think also he loves scoring in derbies, huh?
Yeah,
he's that guy. But what I most appreciate about him is the balls that he has. I mean, that's pacey for you. You know, he's so brave, and being young as it is, you know, playing in your first game and you know, to do that Alani day, I mean, it's amazing to see. And like Shona said, I just wish that he can go back to have an opportunity and play in the EPL. I mean, he's that good. Probably maybe playing in a different position because as a striker with his stature, you have to be like your Agüeros. You need to be scoring like 20 or something. I think if he can go to a team that will appreciate his talent and where, you know, there's no pressure to win the league like Arsenal,
I think he
might try.
So just Teko, you were talking about Percy's balls there. Can you go into that a bit more, please, buddy?
As we were saying.
but yeah, I'm excited. You know, I mean, Vincent Kompany also recently announced his full retirement. He was kind of working as a player coach. Now he's fully retired. You know, it just looks like Anderlecht is working on a project. Percy Tau surrounded by youth there. Mm. He's kind of a senior player who's, I mean, he's still 26, so he's still got years on him. And so I think he's going to have a lot of fun there, particularly because South African players tend to peak around the age that he's at.
Yeah.
But elsewhere, we have to talk about, I mean, we were all excited Bongani Zungu maybe going to Rangers. And now we're busy hearing things he's too fat at the medical. What is happening? But there's conflicting reports now. I'm seeing Sokola Duma's own Mazola Molefi saying, guys, don't believe the hype. Mm. Zungu's not too fat. Mm. But What are we supposed to do with this information?
We've got to talk about it, Slew. That's what we've got to do, buddy. And that's what we're doing. If it is true, which I doubt, but if it is true, it is unacceptable. Man, it is unacceptable. It's very rare now you get professional athletes that will get denied for eating cheeseburgers. You know what I'm saying? For being too fat. He's such a good player. But if it is true, man, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah. Guys, there's healthy options on Uber Eats now as well. You don't have to go.
You can have a salad.
Make it eat.
But, yeah, I don't think it's true. Teko, what do you think?
It was very confusing for me to see it at first. And then when I saw it and I started trying to look at these pictures, and I struggled to make sense out of it. But I think maybe there's something there that we don't know. That maybe they don't want to talk about or whatever the case may be. But I don't think Bongani is that fat for him not to be playing at Rangers.
Yeah.
But I just hope if that's the case, that's the only thing. Because now, because weight, you can always shoot it off, you know. I just hope there's no hidden injury somewhere, you know, something like that. Because the boy is still talented, and yeah. I think the boy can still do well for any team overseas, especially with the position and the height that he's playing.
Sure. Mm.
So I think we need to get Bongani in some danger and find out from him what's the issue exactly. Because we were very, very excited for him to actually go to Rangers, because Rangers is a big team, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, it's like Bongani Zungu, I also feel for him because he's kind of had this up and down since lockdown, right? So Amiens, his team in France, gets relegated, but then they fight against the relegation saying, now you guys ended the league early. Mm. Then France Federation goes, okay, fine. You know, you guys are still in League One. And then they reverse that decision. So Amiens is relegated now. Mm. And so now I know that Zungu doesn't want to play for Amiens. And so this Rangers move looked good. And then now that's off. But, you know, congrats. He's dating a very beautiful Cindy Mahlangu. I think she was in Blood and Water. So there's some good with the bad is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to bring up gossip, but some so good with the bad. He's in love.
This is a football show. This is a football show. This is not gossip. Let's talk about people's girlfriends. Slu, speak football here. Yeah.
I'm just happy he's happy. All right.
What makes you think that he's happy? Has he told you that he's happy?
I mean, I don't know. I'm talking.
Okay, slow, please.
Can I? Yes, am I not allowed?
Don't bring in people's, you know?
All right. Up next.
Here we speak talent, transfers, football,
thank
coaches.
Thank you, Teko.
Not people's people.
Thank you, Mr. Modise.
Well, we wish him all the best.
Because I know next week you'll be telling me about my wife, this, here, because I've never told you.
Hey, 40 episodes I've never brought up your girl, dog.
But we can. Let's talk about Teko's wife.
It's her birthday today. Anyway.
Hey, happy birthday.
Hooray!
All right, up next we have This Week in Football History.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
All right, this week in 1997, AmaZulu lost 2-1 to Kaizer Chiefs. It's an interesting result because when I was looking through that round of fixtures in 1997, That fixture was the only one that had two sides that are still in the PSL now. So Sundowns, Wits, Pirates and SuperSport were all in the league, but all of them faced opponents who aren't in the league anymore. So AmaZulu versus Kaizer Chiefs was the only fixture that could exist still this year from round 3 in 1997. This week back in 2009, violence marred a match between West Ham and Millwall in their first meeting in over 4 years. Fighting broke out both inside and outside the stadium. 20 people got injured. A 44-year-old Millwall fan went to the hospital with a stab wound. Some of you might know this rivalry as the inspiration for the film Green Street Hooligans.
Yes, sir.
And this week in birthdays, we celebrate Kamabilia, who turned 30 during the loss to Bloom Celtic. Owen de Gama is now 59 years young. Stuart Baxter is now 67, doesn't look a day over 20. And Bafana coach Molefe Ntseki is 51 years old, just over the half century. And Lhlonohono, oh, sorry, woo! I lost spit in my mouth there. Lhlonohono Majoro is now 34 years old. Happy birthday to all of those guys for this week.
And we move swiftly forward to the next topic, which is the Golden Boot race, as we come to the end of the show. So it's hotting up now. Hrobler grabbed his 13th this week, so now he is level with Shalulile and Nurkovic on 13, and Mahango still hasn't managed to get through the 15 mark, so he's sitting on 14. And of course we still have Kermit Erasmus, and who is the one that I am forgetting? It would be Ntuli.
Mutizwa.
Bungin Ntuli from AmaZulu, who's on 12. Oh, but Mutizwa is also there on 10, I think, with with Erasmus. So who do you guys back for the Golden Boot?
Yo, I can tell you something now. If Shalulile wins it, it is unbelievable. Mm. It is unbelievable. But my money's going on Nurkovic. I still... The same goals all the time, back post. No one seems to be picking it up, and he continues to do the same thing. And I think he will continue to do, because Chiefs are going to need him now to score goals.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if Shalulile gets it, it is unbelievable, and he's playing unbelievably well. But my money's on Nurkovic.
Yeah, Shalulile can pull a surprise. Nurkovic, I think has the heart. You know, the way he plays, and you can see this is the guy that. You know, he wants to do it for Kaizer Chiefs. And I think he's the guy that I think that he can, unless Mango start relaxing and enjoying his game, because I think he's putting so much pressure on himself. Mm. And I think he's been substituted twice in a row. I think that's a sign that he's not playing his normal game. I think he's more worried of the Golden Boot than doing well for the team. And sometimes it happens. You know, you also want, as a striker, that's what you want. You want those top goal scorers. You want to be the part of the conversation. But I think the person that has an edge right now, I think it's Nurkovic, because he's got the heart. And he has no pressure of becoming a top goal scorer. So I think the pressure is on Mango, because he's got more than everybody else. So people want to, you know, bypass him. I think Nurkovic has the heart.
Yeah. Do you think potentially that Mango's rhythm kind of fell off because of lockdown? So maybe it's not just like the mental pressure, but just like he kind of just lost his rhythm because of the break?
I would say yes and no. Mm-hmm. Because you guys are stupid. Listen, I'll say yes. Yes, in the fact that he was on form. He was scoring goals, but also he wasn't scoring every game. Mm. He would score 3 there, 2 here, not score for 2 games. So he was scoring, yes, he was on form. And Orlando Pirates as well were playing very, very well. And the person that actually was assisting those goals was playing regularly, which is Memela. Right now he's not. So we can say yes, maybe that rhythm has gone a little bit because of Pirates has a different approach right now. But no, in a sense that everybody now starts afresh. Everybody's struggling with what everybody's struggling with. So I think he should be able to pick himself up. I think he shouldn't need anything to motivate him. I think he knows that he's the guy that everybody wants to bypass. So that should actually motivate you in itself. But also he should remember how he scored the goals. Most of his goals were team goals. So I think he needs to go back and rely on the team to help him out instead of trying to do it himself.
Yeah, he hasn't been making those runs. He used to be very, very intelligent with the way that he peels off defenders. Mm. And it's a lot of him running at defenders now that I've been noticing. But
exactly.
You know, hopefully he gets back on form. Up next, we have the car of the week.
Ba-ba-boom.
We got Shano.
This week... Itumeleng Khune has been seen with a C63 AMG.
Damn!
What good's about it is the new look interior, its eager responsive performance, and the driving experience, of course. What's not good, there's no launch control gearbox mode. The thirst is real. It is bloody thirsty on petrol, and there's some iffy build quality to it. But all in all, I'm a massive Merc fan. It's an expensive car at 1.2 million top end. For the price and what you get, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
Nice. I saw that exact car at the car wash, literally next to the car wash. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I was like,
you know, when you see see the car and it's shiny, that's when it really like, that's when I sit there and I'm like, damn, I'm broke, bro. Like, I ain't got no money. But up next, we need a motivational quote of the week to get us through
to the end.
Yes, sir. This is an interesting one from old Mr. Riyad Petersa. You win and lose some as long as the outcome is income.
Hey.
Something different.
Sounds like a rap lyric.
It does, eh?
Yeah, it is a rap lyric, actually.
I wonder who
thanks,
it is.
Thanks, Dr. Dre. Yeah.
Dr. Dre ain't write no rap.
But it's true, Chief. I listen to a whole lot of rap, so I know that that's a rap.
All right, smooth. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's gotta be. Yeah. But this has been The Car Wash, brought to you by Total. That was episode number 40. Don't forget to do all of your hashtag don't drop the ball challenges. It's a 30-second clip. Keep that ball up, pass it out of frame, challenge all of your friends to do the same. Whether you were listening to us on SL Radio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahigang 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very, very much for joining us on the show. I've been your host, Slu Paho. That's been Sean Roberts.
Of course.
And that has been Teko Modise.
Away.
Hashtag don't drop the ball, guys, all right? We didn't do it today. Don't do it at home. All right, we'll see you this time. Same place next week. Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is The Car Wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.